Book of Romans tonight, Romans chapter number 3, Romans chapter number 3, and it's already been a wonderful day, and the music's been good, the preaching's been adequate, and let's see what the Lord does. The fellowship has been okay. Let's see what God does with the remainder of the service today, but we are truly blessed as a church. I hope we know that. And it's exciting to see what God is doing, and I believe it is just the beginning of some great things that God wants to do in our lives, but through us as well. Romans chapter number 3, and I'm going to read one verse of Scripture, and I take that back. I'll read two verses of Scripture tonight. Let's go to verse number 3 to begin with. Verse number 4 will be our text verse, and I'm going to just preach a very specific thing, get you thinking tonight, if that's okay, and I think it'll help us. With all the noise that's going on in the world is noisy, and everybody's trying to tell us what to think and what to do and how to do it, but we have God who's told us what to do, how to think, and how to do it, and so I want to just be practical tonight and help us. Romans chapter 3, verse 3, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Now, context, verse number 3 is, there's not everybody believes what God has said. Does that mean it has no power? Does that mean it has no effect? Does it mean it's not true? And then we see the answer to that in verse number 4, God forbid. But we have to go a little further. Yea, let God be true. But every man a liar. One phrase that is popular in our society today that is straight from the fiery pits of hell is, well, what is your truth? This is my truth. Well, there's only truth, and God is the one who established truth because He is truth. Tonight I want to preach on this subject. Don't let the world teach you the Bible. Don't let the world teach you the Bible. Father, help us tonight as we consider some very simple, practical, yet crucial truths in the lives of the Christian. And Father, may we be helped tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What a powerful verse and a wonderful statement. One we need to remember, let God be true, but every man a liar. When we get confused by things taking place in this world, we must come back to what has God said. And if there's any conflict, we know who is true. But let me ask you a question tonight. How many voices have you listened to this week? How many voices have spoken into your life this week? I'm not talking about voices in person, but through a screen. See, this week, these things aren't sinful in themselves. Many of us, many of you, listened to podcasts while you were driving. You listened to commentators on YouTube. You watch clips on social media. You follow the political analysis on your favorite cable news network. You listen to interviews and debates. And in listening to all of this, these voices spoke with confidence. Each one of them was an expert even when they contradicted themselves. They spoke with confidence in these settings, these voices told you what to think about politics. They told you what to think about our nation. They told you what to think about world events. They told you what to think about the nation of Israel. They told you what to think about the future. And this is the reality of the moment we're living in. For the first time in history, millions of people are being discipled by people they have never met. Millions of people are being discipled by people they do not know, do not have a relationship with. A man sitting in a studio speaking into a microphone can shape the thinking of millions of believers. If we're not careful, Christians will spend 2 hours listening to commentators and 10 minutes listening to God. See, we're living in a strange time, a unique time, When many Christians, if I asked you what the opinion was of a certain commentator, either on their from a podcast, from a news station, we would know their opinions, we would know what they believe, we would know their arguments. But yet if we ask Christians to give us a viewpoint from a particular book in the Bible, or the Bible's view on a subject, we would struggle, because what has happened is something very dangerous. We've gotten lazy, we've gotten lax, we've let our guard down, and instead of asking what does the Bible say, we have many Christians asking, what did this particular commentator say? What did this particular pundit say? Did you hear what this person said about this? See, instead of interpreting the world through Scripture, we begin interpreting Scripture through the world. There are many Christians today at odds and conflict with the pastor God has put in their life because of that statement right there. Instead of interpreting the world through Scripture, they interpret Scripture through the world. And friend, if we're not careful, because of all the voices that we have access to, or should I say it like this, have access to us, we allow them to shape our thinking instead of Scripture to shape our thinking. See, when this happens, the Christian has allowed the world to become their teacher. But the Apostle Paul settles this issue in our text: let God be true, but every man a liar. See, if the entire world says one thing and God says something else, the Christian already knows which side he must stand on. And hopefully tonight this will help some of you, while I'm always a little bit, I don't know, aggravated when it comes to political commentators in our day and YouTubers and podcasts, because we seek their knowledge and their information when we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have the Word of God. We have the answers to the future. Well, I was listening to this guy and he's talking about that this is a sign of this. Who cares what they think? Who cares what that Roman Catholic thinks about this, trying to interpret world events, when I've got Scripture that God has said, this is what is going to take place, this is how you view things. We have to be very careful not to let the world teach us the Bible. I'll make four statements tonight, and I'll be done for tonight. The world, number one, the world is always trying to shape your thinking. Too many Christians aren't suspicious enough about the world. Too many Americans aren't suspicious enough about what they hear on the radio, about what podcasts they're listening to. And Christians, be reminded tonight, the world is trying to shape your thinking. And the Bible repeatedly warns us about the influence of the world, and yet we expose ourselves constantly to the influence of the world. Well, Pastor, I'm not watching those horrible things out of Hollywood. Well, friend, if the devil can get in your mind through a political commentator and you turn away from the truths of Scripture, he doesn't need Hollywood to do that. And there's a lot of Christians who are messed up by all of the all the conspiracy theories. Oh, Pastor, do you believe everything the government tells you? I don't believe anything the government tells me. But I'm not looking for for direction from the government. Well, this is going on, and this is going on, and Trump sneezed twice at his press conference that means this is going to happen and then this is going to happen. You know, the Bible tells us the rapture's taking place. The Bible tells us the world is not coming to the end until God pours His wrath out on it. It's going to be World War III and it's all going to be over. Well, if that takes place, I'm not going to be here. You're not going to be here. Back to our regularly scheduled notes. In Romans 12, 2, if we turn there tonight, well, not because of time, but we know that verse, many of us, we see, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we're told to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, then we are conformed in our mind. We put a premium, and I'm not minimizing it one bit. The Bible speaks very clearly of it on the outside appearance, what we say, how we say it, where we go, where we don't go, how we look. All of those things are good, but you could check every fundamental box. And if the devil's in your mind, it's only a matter of time before the outside reflects the mind. And long before he gets the Christian involved in many other things, he wants to conform the mind. That word conformed, it means to be pressed into a mold. The world is constantly attempting to mold the thinking of believers. And the criticism of this world against Bible believers, and young people, don't fall prey to this, is well, you just can't be your own person. That the church, they try and make you just like everybody else. Have you looked around? The same people who say that, when God says, this is how you prepare yourself, this treat your body as a temple of the Holy Ghost. Let your conversation, your manner of living, be with moderation, and he gives us all of the things that we're supposed to do, because I'm just going to tell us, and I think we can be okay admitting this, we are trying to be like someone else, Jesus. But the people who criticize it, they have to wait for the influencer to come out and tell them, how are they dressing today? What's a fad today? Are you looking like this today or tomorrow like this today? They're the ones who are conformed, and how's it happen? It happens in your mind. If you don't jump on board, you're missing something. If you don't think like this, you're going to be left out. It presses into a mold. The world is constantly attempting to mold the thinking of believers. How does it do this? Through entertainment? Entertainment. I love sports. I almost completely gave them up back in all of the, when the political junk came to it, and some of them I still have not picked up. If you're not careful, they would say, what's the big deal? There's a political message. There's a secular message that they'll use through sports. There's not an NBA player on the planet that you ought to emulate. Not one. And those of the day, they couldn't make it in the 80s. Let me just tell all you young people that. And you can just turn me off if you want to. But it's entertainment. It's, you know, this. We have been, for a long time, I heard preachers preach, be careful with your television, your network television shows. And what do? They always, dad was a weakling, they always mocked him. They would sneak the same-sex relationships in there, and as long as we're laughing, ha, 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 it's okay. We can put up with all of these things as long as it's funny, as long as it's entertainment, and it shapes our mind. It conforms it. How does it happen? Through education. Have you asked yourself the question, how can there be a segment of people who were born a male, how can they really think they're a female? How can a segment of people who are born female think they're a male? And then how can a segment of people not think they're anything? And if you want to get worse than that, how can a segment of people think they're a cat? Well, it's very simple. Through education, through the decades, they have been trained that they evolved from an animal, that we're no different than an animal. We're just very different than an animal. We just evolved a little bit more. And we're not special because we're just evolved from an animal. There is no creator. Instead of God created us with purpose, God created us with value. God created us in His image. And we have been conformed by education. How have things taken place in our country? And you see these polls, and you don't believe the polls, but they give us a little guidepost. Is this percentage of America thinks, and this generation thinks, socialism would be good for America? Then I ask myself the question, have they ever read a history book? But then the answer to that is no. Because education has molded their thinking. If you're not careful, I see this is happening right before our eyes. You have all the conservative news, and they all have one thing in common. They all belong to the Roman Catholic Church. And they have a Roman Catholic viewpoint. And the influence and the rise of that Roman Catholic Church, there's Bible prophecy about that. If we're not careful, it's like, well, I voted the same person they voted for, so therefore we're alike. Oh no, I'm not like them. I'm going to guard my mind so that it does not conform me. This is why I've said this, and I think you're all on board with this. If you're not, you'll get there eventually. I'm not a conservative. I'm a Christian. And wherever Christian principles and conservative principles intersect, that's just a blessing on their part. That's not what I am. I am a Christian. If we're not careful, the news of the day will conform us. The culture wants to press us into a mold. You know, young parents, you don't understand this because the age is advancing. You probably understand somewhat, but not to the degree that you that and it's I'm in the same generation. Your kids are exposed. You used to just if there was a bad kid in the neighborhood, I got to keep them away from them. Or you know, the bad kids in church, the deacon's kids. Like, Pastor, I heard it was the preacher's kids. Mind your own business. Stay on my preaching. Oh, if I could control that television and keep it turned off and off certain things and the music, if I could keep certain music away from them, if I could guard them, then culture would not mold them. But now there's social media. Now there's the podcast. Now there's all of those things. And I'm not saying they in themselves are wicked or evil. All I'm saying is this world has always tried to shape the mind, the thinking. Let me just say this. The goal of the world is not to help you think biblically. The goal of the world is to help you think like the world. That's why the book of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8 warns us, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Sometimes I think we read that and it's like, well, I'm not going to a philosophy class. I'm not sitting around and with our legs crossed and kumbaya. No, that's not if you get philosophy in conversation. You get philosophy in somebody's viewpoint. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. The world's spoil means to carry away as prey. Paul is saying there are ideas that can carry believers away from truth if they're not careful. And those ideas are often packaged in ways that sound convincing. They may sound intelligent. They may sound patriotic. They may sound conservative. But if they are not rooted in Scripture, they can still lead believers away from truth. Statement number two, they'll get shorter. Not this one, but they'll get shorter. The Christian must never allow media to replace Scripture. This is one of our great dangers of the generation today, is allowing media voices to replace biblical authority. Podcasters speak boldly. The confidence of the commentator. But their confidence does not equal truth. Popularity, they had this many million views. That doesn't make them on par with Scripture. The authority of the Christian life, friend, is the Word of God. Before you run to your favorite podcaster, did you run to the Scripture? Well, they're interpreting this Iran war. It's going to be war. You know, Pastor, who do you listen to find out what's going to happen? I go to John, the Revelator, to see what he has to say. I go to the Old Testament prophets, see what they have to say. I go to Jesus Christ himself to see what he has to say. And when you go to the Scripture, you see how little man knows. We've had them recently, we've highlighted them several weeks ago in our Sunday school series, but in the book of Acts chapter 17, the Bible describes the believers at Berea. These were more noble, that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. They heard something, they didn't take it at face value. They went to the Scriptures. They heard something, let's try it by the Scriptures. Let's see what the Scriptures say. They didn't just accept what they heard. Well, Pastor, what if I'm going to do that with you. Please do. Please do. They did that as well. You'll be better off if you do that. See, before we accept an opinion, before we adopt a narrative, before we repeat something we heard online, we must ask this question: what does the Bible say? Statement number three. Pastor, I thought you were talking about Israel tonight. Here you go. With that as those first two points, we come to number three. Israel must be understood biblically, not politically. Well, you know Israel today is not the same Israel. What in the world are you talking about? That piece, I mean, Jerusalem is Jerusalem, friend. This is causing a lot of confusion today. And this is really revealing that a lot of these people who claim the name of Christ and claim to know the Bible don't know the Bible. Israel is a constantly talked in politics. The media discusses it continually. Commentators all have an opinion, but as Christians, we must remember something very, very important when it comes to Israel. Israel is not just a political issue. Israel is a biblical issue. We know, we saw this a week ago in Genesis 12:3, God told Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. God is pretty straightforward with what he has said. And just because you're a commentator and you don't understand that does not make it true. Untrue. Just because you don't accept that doesn't mean that it's not true. See, from the very beginning of Scripture, God established a covenant relationship with Israel. That covenant has not disappeared. It's still there. In Romans chapter 11, which we saw recently, Paul asks, hath God cast away his people? Then he gives the immediate answer and says, God forbid. God has not rejected Israel. We saw this last Sunday night, Romans 11:29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He has not changed his mind. And I remind you very quickly why this is important, because if he'll change his mind about what he has said and established with Israel, he can change his mind when it comes to salvation and eternity, and then you and I have no confidence in salvation. Friend, I have very great confidence in my salvation because God doesn't change his mind. Matter of fact, he's not capable of changing his mind because he's God. Now, I don't think I have to say this, but no nation is perfect. No government is righteous. And let me just help us, and in case you've only read a little bit of history, our government's not righteous. Our government has never been righteous. And sometimes as Americans, we stick our chest out and say, we've got the greatest judicial system. We've got the greatest government set up in the world. That don't mean it's good. That doesn't mean it's righteous. No government's righteous. You see this debate play out. You see this conversation play out. A Christian says, well, we stand with Israel because God commands us to. Well, Israel's not perfect, and Israel does some bad things. Wow. What does that have to do with God keeping his word? What does it have to do? It doesn't change the fact that they're God's chosen people. It doesn't change that fact. Then in weeks to come, I'll bring a message, and we'll look at how we are grafted in. But the root is still the root. But might I also say, America's not perfect. See, when we begin, Christians begin forming the view of Israel entirely from political commentary instead of Scripture, we're allowing the world to interpret the Bible for them. You name the podcaster, you name the commentator, you name the news source, they do not interpret Scripture for me. How many of you are saved tonight? You've got the Holy Spirit of God that resides in you, who's the author of this book. I don't understand a lot either, but as the times begin to unfold, that script passage of Scripture that I didn't understand before, oh, it's making a lot more sense now. This is what we do. We read a verse and we say, I don't understand that. And that's all the attention we give to it. Do you ever think you may have to meditate on it, have to study it, have to make notes and come back around to it? Statement number four. Cultural narratives must never override Scripture. There's been two specifically things I'll mention tonight that throughout history has been used to combat the influence of Scripture. Either a rejection of the Bible altogether and a removing of Scripture, or, which we as in America are fighting now, is to reshape the interpretation of Scripture. Well, maybe the Bible doesn't really mean that. Well, you mean it meant it for hundreds of years and now it doesn't mean it? Or maybe we should reinterpret this passage. God hasn't changed his mind. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. Culture changes, governments change, public opinion changes, but the truth of Scripture does not change. Friend, we live in the day, we have all this information, and can I just say it bluntly? And we are dumber than we've ever been. We've got more therapy than we've ever had in history, and we're more depressed. We have access to so much information, and we can't even get out of the rain when it's raining. Let me conclude tonight. We have to remember the mission of the church. Our mission is not to win a political argument on the internet. Our mission is not to become political analysts. Our mission is the gospel. I remind you what Paul also said in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." See, I remind you tonight, and if you walk away with this simple framing, we live in a generation filled with voices. Voices from screens, voices from podcasts, voices from commentators, voices from the internet. And the vast majority of them say nothing. You say, "Well, Pastor, it was 3.5 hours long," and you come away from it, and they've said nothing. Because if it's not rooted in the Word of God, there is no value in it. See, Christian, you must decide which voice is going to shape your thinking. And this has happened in the past. And sadly, it's happened more than one time with one person. And none of them have survived spiritually. There have been members who've wanted to argue politics with me, and they're wrong on scriptural interpretation, and they didn't get that from their pastor. They got it from a voice who's not getting it from Scripture. See, we must decide what voice is going to shape our thinking. So, Pastor, how do we do that? Let's end where we started. Romans chapter number 3, verse 4. "Let God be true, but every man a liar." The only time I'm true is when I'm saying what God said. If it's contrary to what God has said, they're a liar. We can just take this wherever we want to take it, as far as it'll go. This truth, this verse, it has legs and it can go wherever it needs to go. If man says there's another way to heaven besides Jesus Christ, they're a liar. Well, I heard a priest say that they just had to pray to the church. They're a liar. And you can add whatever a religion you want to add to that. I've heard a lot of lying Baptists too. Say the Bible is not true. Lying Baptists say that restoration is not in the Bible. Lying Baptists, hey, if God has said it, I hear them saying it today, "Well, you don't need to listen to your pastor." They're lying Baptists. Because God said, "I've given you a shepherd, and he's going to give an account for how you listen to him, and you're going to give an account for how you listen to him." You say, "Well, what if what you say is not?" I've already given you permission. If what I'm saying is not what God has said, I'm lying too. So you got a safeguard in that. See, when the world contradicts Scripture, the Christian already knows where he must stand. This would simplify some lives tonight. "Well, that just doesn't sound right." Well, that's probably not. We have to go back to the Bible. So let us end with this tonight. You have to determine you're not going to let the culture teach you the Bible. Don't let politics teach you the Bible. Don't let the internet teach you the Bible. Why don't we just let the Word of God speak for itself? And when God speaks, I think we can believe Him. I think we can trust His Word. My admonition tonight is don't let the world teach you the Bible. Don't let the world shape your thinking. And there are times, and I'm not saying tonight that you shouldn't pay attention to what's going on in our nation, and certainly what's going on with our nation right now. There's a lot to pay attention to, and we'll be praying for our nation. But you still have to filter that through Scripture. You still have to let God's Word reign supreme. You know, there's patriotic voices that are out there today. I thank God for patriotic voices in our government. And I don't know if you're paying attention to it. You study history. There are some real patriots that have emerged. And I thank God for that. I don't know if any are in Congress, but I thank God for the ones that are out there. There's a few. So, Pastor, why are you saying that? Because when it comes to being patriotic about America, I'm with them. But I'm not going to let them shape my theology. Many of you, this will be a good illustration to close with, and it'll help some of you, because some of you asked me for recommendations for history books. Probably my favorite historian to read after is H.W. Brands. Now, don't run to Amazon, because his average book is about 600 pages long. That'll discourage you right there. I think he's a great historian. I've never read a bad book that he's written. It's wonderful. Got him on my bookshelf. But he's not shaping my theology. He's not shaping what I think about this Bible. The same is true in this world today. You may have a voice that you listen to that gets your politics and news from, but don't let them teach you the Bible. And I think we've seen this, and if you pay attention to this world, you know who and what I'm talking about. There are some in the past you could listen to. And the moment they tried to tell me the Bible, first of all, I'm not getting my Bible from you. Second of all, that ain't in the Bible. That's not what the Bible says. You may act like you're God, but you're not God. That's not what the Bible says. Well, I filter it. You know how I filter it? I don't listen to them anymore. Why is that? Why would you listen to a liar? Why would you listen to a liar? If you knew somebody was lying to your face, why would you say, let me see what they have to say today? Let God be true and every man a liar. And by the way, your pastor's not calling them a liar tonight. God is stating the standard. I'm true. If it's contrary to what I've said, they're a liar. And by the way, if it all plays out, it will be revealed. God was true. Man was a liar. The danger, though, is we let those liars influence our thinking. Oh, Pastor, they're sincere. You know, that's not the standard of what a lie is. You can be sincerely lying. I caught them in a lie, but they were sincere. Oh, better luck next time. It's still a lie. Why would we? Don't allow yourself to be conformed, pressed into a mold. I saw this happen with conservatives and Republicans all the way back in 2016. Let's get those minds compressed. Because we know the things that have transpired through 2020, not just the turmoil in our government, but COVID, all those things. And there was a lot of false teachers, a lot of Christians who fell by the wayside. They threw the doctrinal teaching of the rapture out. All of those things is because their mind had been conformed. Well, Pastor, it's harmless. No, see, you have to understand something. There's the Holy Spirit and there's a seducing spirit. There's the Holy Spirit and there's the spirit of Antichrist. Do you believe there's this group of people that's trying to rule the world? No, I believe there's the prince and power of the air who works through people. Some have your same political affiliation. This isn't for the day. I told you I was going to finish. I just didn't say exactly when. I touched on it in my book, Satan's Culture. I can make an argument, you know, probably better than the counter argument, that the Antichrist will be a conservative. The rise of righteousness. That's why I am wary of any Christian movement that's outside of the church. Haven't you seen there's revival in our nation? If you read your Bible, you would be a little more cautious than that. It comes through God's local church. Now, I'm not saying that God's got to check with me before he does anything in this world. God can let the rocks speak out. God can speak to a man when the wind blows through the leaves of a tree. God can do that. But I know that there's a spirit that if the world thinks that they can go get to God anyway but through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just help you tonight. I'm just rambling. Is that okay? We'll see in about 30 minutes if you say that. Why the rhetoric against Israel? It's God's chosen people. You've got the same people who are political and Christian who don't believe Jesus is the source of salvation. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the promised seed. He is a Jew. So what is the spirit behind the rhetoric that used to just come from one political affiliation, but now it is, you got them defending and you got conservatives. It's the spirit of Antichrist moving against God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, Pastor, I don't know if I believe that. Give it some time. Give it some time. And it will all be revealed. But I'm thankful that the day is coming that trumpet is going to sound. And we are out of here. We are gone. And friend, let's be faithful. Let's let the Spirit of God and the Word of God shape our thinking. The Bible does say, so much the more should we assemble together as we see the day approaching. You think God knew when he put that in there that there'd be so many voices through screens that would be conforming and shaping? That maybe we would need to be under the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God even more in that day, because there's so many more voices trying to conform our thinking. The prince and the power of the air, that spirit of Antichrist, believe it or not, is it prince and power of the air. Think about it. Working against us so much the more do we need to be in the teaching of the Word of God. Do we need to be in the house of God, under the Word of God? Because there's so many more voices trying to conform our thinking. You know, we did need a presidential change. My opinion. You can disagree with me if you want. I don't think you will. But I think we all know this and we'd agree with this. Donald Trump is not the Savior. He is not the Savior of America. I thank God for somebody who loves America. You know, and do you agree with everything he does and says? No. But I probably wouldn't agree with everything that Ronald Reagan did, Abraham Lincoln. You know, I was talking to Brother Leroy. He didn't agree with George Washington, everything he did. because we're men. I'm not looking. And see, we've been conditioned and conformed to look to Washington, D.C. I'm not looking to Washington, D.C. I'm looking up. Looking up. And as long as we're here, let's spread the news, the gospel of the Lord.